William D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason with Adam Bingen on another Titans Monday after a loss. I believe that is now 20 losses in the Titans' past 26 games.
Man. I didn't realize that.
It was 0-7.
Yes.
Then 6-11, mm-hmm. and 0-2. So 6-20, 20 out of 26. But you already knew that if you were listening to this show already. But I spent the weekend, as I was just telling Willie and Derek, I spent the weekend in East Tennessee. Took a family trip to Dollywood. The vibes were immaculate. The people were super friendly. The food was delicious. Shout out to the cinnamon bread. If you go to Dollywood, you must have the cinnamon bread. So yesterday, I get back in the car, start driving back toward Nashville. I left a little bit before the game, so I was driving during the game. And at various points throughout the drive, my phone was buzzing because Willie, Derek, and Nick – were texting in the group, and I was just like, something bad must be happening. I couldn't
wait a minute. You think we're negative people like that? Like-
no, I just figured that the rate of the text messages, boom, boom, boom. I was like, something bad must have happened. And all I said into my voice to text was, no spoilers, I'm driving back from Dollywood. So I got back and watched the game, and all of those immaculate vibes I had for my weekend went right down the drain, watching the Titans lose 24-17 again, this time to the New York Jets. And the story of the game, this game, the Titans did not have control of this game like they did the week before when they were up, 17-0 on the Bears,
right,
and completely blew it. The Jets were always within striking distance, but the story of the game, just as it was last week, was Will Levis making, to use the term he used last week, a boneheaded decision, refusing to go down when sacked and giving the ball up, fumbling it. I believe it was ruled as a sack fumble, basically. I think that's what it was ruled as. I think it was changed eventually. But either way, gave the ball away in a situation where he should not have given the ball away. And we were all Brian Callahan in that moment. The CBS cameras caught Brian Callahan, for those lip readers out there, saying, hey, what the F are you doing? Except he did not say F. He said something much worse.
He followed through.
Yes.
What in the follow through are you doing?
Correct. But we were all Brian Callahan in that moment. And for those of you whose confidence in Will Levis was shaken by his performance in the second half against the Bears, what he did yesterday overshadows any good. I thought Ian Eagle had a great line near the end of the first half. I believe there was about a minute left in the first half. They came back from commercial. And he said, I feel like this first half has been Will Levis in a nutshell. Some really good stuff, and then a couple of plays where you scratch your head a bit and say, why? And that is, again, the story of the game. Will Levis making a boneheaded decision that cost the Titans points. Now, it didn't cost them the game like the pick six did. You can't directly point to the mistake and say that the Titans lost the game because of Will Levis's decision this time around. Mm-hmm. But still, clearly, the guy hasn't learned.
It just, my heart just sunk when that happened because they were playing so well. And the drive up until that point was so impressive. So it was different in that it didn't directly cost them the game. It directly cost them 3 points, right? If he just takes the sack, they kick the field goal, they're up 10-0, and everybody's still feeling really good. I think where it cost them more was the residual, the re-entering all of the feelings coming out of last Sunday's game. I think that's the weight. And I feel like that weight is maybe the biggest thing going forward now, in that this is something we discussed last week. Mm-hmm. When you do this, the faith that the team has in you starts to get questioned, and you have to do that much more to overcome it. And there's still time for him to do it, and he knows what he has to do. And we're going to talk about the words he chose and everything like that. But I think the biggest thing is you've got to know that in that bunker, when everybody's in there and it's the big play and they're looking to you and you're calling the play, that everybody believes that you're the guy, you're the right guy to get us through this. And when you have things like that happen, it just shakes that. It shakes it.
Yeah, it does. Let's talk about the good quickly.
Yeah. Because there was some.
Yeah,
was
he
some.
Completed 67.
Absolutely.
He completed almost 70% of his passes. Because a lot of times he did exactly what I think Brian Callahan wanted him to do. Take the profit. Just take the profit, move on, allow your playmakers to get the ball, get up the field. If they can get some extra yards, great. But you're not putting the team in a situation where, you know, we are compromised in a sense. So the good is he completed 67% of his passes for the whole game. That's far better than what he did in the previous game. That's far better than what he did last year. So if we can keep it at 67%, that's great.
We set the bar at 62% before the season, because that would
exactly.
be a marked improvement, even though that's not anything close to Joe Montana or anything like that. But it is that would be a good
You got to crawl before you walk.
Exactly.
You got to crawl before you walk. But if he gets you 67% of his passes completed or 65, then we are on the winning track. That's the good. There's a lot of bad in here. So much so that I want people to understand this. Will Levis, he plays with a recklessness. Sometimes it will help you. Sometimes it will hurt you. He reminds me of a lot of quarterbacks that have sort of went down this road or suffer from this sort of disease in a sense. I saw Kyle Bowler go through it in Baltimore. I've seen other quarterbacks. You look at, you know, you just go down the line of first round quarterbacks, Jamarcus Russell, Jameis Winston. Go down the line with all these quarterbacks that were supposed to have big arms from a physical standpoint. They can make every throw. But for some reason, from a mental standpoint, they can't all put it together. I'm not saying that Will Levis is dumb. I'm not saying that because he's not. But for some reason, he hasn't been able to put the mental with the physical. Quarterbacks in this league last not because of the physical. Yeah, you want to stay healthy. Yeah, I get that. But they last because of the mental part, the mental aspect of the game. And right now, Will Levis doesn't have that. He just doesn't for whatever reason. He finds a way to mess up the game or put himself in a position that he doesn't need to be in. Again, look at the throw he made to Calvin Ridley. That was an interception-worthy throw. That ball should have been intercepted. And I know people are going to look at it and say, Will Levis, just look at that pass. But you know what that causes him to do?
Try it again.
Exactly. Willie knows exactly what I'm talking about. Because that pass slipped in there, because Sauce Gardner stopped running for whatever reason, and he thought the safety was going to be able to get the interception, and he didn't want to run up Calvin Ridley's back.
I thought the safety
caught it. Yeah, I thought he got it. I'm like, is it an interception? And they said, Calvin Ridley, touchdown. I'm like, holy crap, touchdown. But then that's a false sense of reality. That pass should have never been thrown. Because that was an intercept. The minute that pass went in the air, the probability of that ball being completed for a touchdown probably was somewhere in the teens.
It's funny you mention that because I have the numbers for
Thank
you.
Thank you, Adam.
According to Next Gen Stats.
I feel good
stats.
Because Adam exactly. has more numbers than me. Like, he Absolutely. Speaks my language and he's taken to another level. Like, yes, Adam, tell me the numbers.
According to Next Gen Stats, Will Levis's 40-yard touchdown pass to Calvin Ridley had a 16.5% completion probability, the most improbable completion of Levis's NFL career. Wow.
And people are going to look at that and say, great to go, Will Levis. That's right. When in actuality, no, don't throw that ball. That's one of those passes where you throw in the coach is like, you got to be kidding me. He threw that, and you're looking like, oh, man, it's going to be an interception. And all of a sudden, you're like, did he overrun it? Did he catch it? Oh, my goodness, he caught it. Great, touchdown. But you're still going back in the film room, and you're like, one, you threw it too late. Two, you stared it down. Three, you lucky that Sauce Gardner didn't want to run up Ridley's back or the safety for whatever reason he couldn't get there because that was an interception worthy throw. So, people, when you see things like that, it's not a good thing from the standpoint of he's going to think he can make that throw again when in actuality you shouldn't try to make that throw.
Later in the show, we're going to put that catch from Calvin Ridley through the wide receiver translator among other plays that were made in yesterday's game. To further that point, Ridley, according to Next Gen Stats, had 0.7 yards of separation from Sauce Gardner when the pass arrived. But Will Levis said something after yesterday's game that when I first read it, I didn't hear it. I read it transcribed. Then I listened to it. But this is what Will Levis said after the game that filled me with some concern.
Yeah, it's tough, but I mean, it's everything's tough about this sport and this position, and it's just something that might not have like crossed my brain in the off season. You know, when I'm preparing mentally, I'm more so focused on the playbook and, you know, obviously watching film to see how guys are playing and running games. But I can't let that happen.
That was Will Levis talking about rewiring his brain to make sure that when he is put in those situations, like he was against Chicago and yesterday, not to make those plays. He's 25 years old. I don't know how much rewiring he can really do at this point. He is a young quarterback in terms of games played. He started 11 games. But at 25 years old, if he was saying this at 20 or 21 years old, I might have a little bit more sympathy.
Right, if he were a younger guy like an Anthony Richardson who came mm-hmm. shooting through as a talent after 3 years of college, I think we would look at it a little different.
Right, and there was a line in Gentry Estes' column in the Tennessean after the game that I think sums this up perfectly about Will Levis's reckless nature in these situations. This is what Gentry wrote, quote, "This isn't a habit, it's a condition. This is not a bad habit. This is something that is ingrained in Will Levis. And how is the coaching staff going to go about, I can't say breaking him of this habit, because it isn't a habit. This is who Will Levis is. So how does he and the coaching staff go about, quote unquote, rewiring his brain at this stage?
It's a good question. Mm-hmm. And I will say this in the context. Mm-hmm. If you listen to the whole conversation that Levis had, I commend him for this because everybody's zeroed in on this line, and I can see why. And maybe this is something where he's going to have to go Bull Durham and say the most boring things that you can say to not have a line like this that everybody psychoanalyzes like we're going to do today. He was asked the question about four different times, mm-hmm. right? And he owned up to it just like he did on the previous Sunday. And then he says this, right? And this is what everybody is locked in on. So sometimes boring is better, but I do commend him for trying to be honest and self-evaluate. And now because he chose those words, we're freaking out, right? So I try not to put too much stock in the words somebody chooses in a bigger press conference like that. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I do think it is a fair question to ask, is can he break himself from this?
The question is I don't know. Because, again, if you look at quarterbacks that sort of had this condition of throwing interceptions or making bonehead plays, they usually don't change. You know, those guys, only reason it changes because you don't allow them to pass the ball as much. That's the only reason it changes. It's not that a guy goes out there and he throw two interceptions after throwing 30 passes, and if you throw another 30 passes, oh, he's not going to do it. It's going to change. No. The more he passes the ball, the more susceptible he is to making mistakes. The more Will Levis passes the ball, the more susceptible he is to doing something that is not going to help the team. There's a reason why late in the game, Brian Callahan chose to run the football than to pass, because he didn't want to put the team in a situation where the quarterback was going to do something to cause them the game. That's why he went strictly run game over the last part of the game, because he's losing trust. Believe me, people, Brian Callahan is losing trust in his quarterback. If he's losing trust in his quarterback, you know who else is losing trust in his quarterback? The team. The team is losing trust in the quarterback. Why? Because he continues to do the things, even though he recognizes himself doing it and he can speak on it after the game and take full event and take responsibility for it, but you're still doing it. Okay, I can say sorry a million times and I'm not going to do it. But if I go out and do it again, it doesn't mean anything. And that's what Will Levis has continued to do in this offense, is to put this team in bad situations at critical times in the game. Not the whole game, but at critical times in the game, those things tend to flare up. I don't think those are things that will change for Will Levis.
To put Will Levis's turnover issues into context, he has 5 turnovers in 2 games. He has 3 interceptions and 2 lost fumbles. And we're going to talk about the throw to Treylon Burks in a little bit. But 5 turnovers in 2 games, 3 interceptions, 2 lost fumbles. He accounts for all 5 turnovers the Titans have through 2 games. He had 8 turnovers in 9 games last season, 4 interceptions, 4 lost fumbles. So he is more than halfway to his turnover total from last season, after just 2 games.
And you know who else they said that it would change for? Jameis Winston. You know who else they said it would change for? Kyle Bowler. You know who else they said it would change for? Ryan Fitzpatrick. All these guys that are Brett Favre. Oh, it'll change, but it doesn't change.
It's a troubling pattern. It is. And I do think the more you see it week in, week out, the more you start to get the DNA and say, well, this is what he is. This is not we're getting closer to the finished product, and we don't really like exactly what it is. And we have to decide, are we going to continue to go down this direction or not? I will say, on just that straight up number, one of the interceptions at the end of last game, it's a desperation 4th down.
That is,
okay.
That is fair.
And the long bomb we're going to talk about today to Burks, I don't know that is all him, too. Some of those just happen, right? I think it was a little lucky, if I'm going down to it. But the point is well taken, right? But I'm just saying sometimes the stats look worse than they actually are.
Context is important.
Yeah, and but like Dime said, one of his best plays, threading the needle for the touchdown, easily could have been an interception.
So you're weighing
everything that's happening out there.
I thought it was an interception when the safety came barreling through. I thought it was an interception.
I thought the safety had it. It was just a question, did the safety stay in bounds? I'm like, I'm looking at him the whole time, and then all of a sudden I see Ridley running up. I'm like, hey, wait, he got it.
I think Ridley was surprised that ball was able to get through.
Yeah.
Again,
it was a great catch.
It was. Great concentration by Calvin Ridley. This team, this quarterback, more importantly, the quarterback, his responsibility is first and foremost is to take care of the football and to play in such a way that the offensive coordinator, in his mind, his whole book is open to whatever he wants to call, because he knows whatever he calls, the quarterback will make the right decision. Well, Brian Callahan is at a point where now I think he's shaving down a lot of what he feels he wants to call. Why? Because he doesn't trust that the quarterback is going to make the right decision. There's a reason why Brian Callahan, you saw on the sideline, that he came out and said what he said and you read his lips. A head coach that's not frustrated with his quarterback, he's not going to do that, because usually head coaches don't like to show up the quarterback. And I'm not saying he was doing that to show up Will Levis, but usually head coaches are so stoic in the sense of when it comes to their quarterback. When their quarterback comes to the sideline, they talk to them then as they're sitting down. Brian Callahan met Will Levis. As Will Levis was walking toward, he met him like, dude, what? That shows complete frustration with your quarterback. And you're starting to lose some of that confidence that that you worked all offseason to build up for your quarterback. By each game, is being chopped away, not necessarily because of his whole play, but because he's making these bonehead mistakes at critical times when you think, dude, you should have learned from these. I understand you working during the offseason to make sure you're looking at defenses to see what they're scheming up and you're trying to learn the offense. But you need to, as a player, what do I need to do to not put my team in a bad position? And it seems like you haven't figured that out, Will Levis. It's like you revert, it's like there's a brain fog when things start to get real hairy. And you just do something that is totally against what the team wants you to do. And then you get up and walk away like, oh, I got to learn how to not to do that again. Well, you know what? If that was a running back fumbling the ball two or three times, his ass would be on the bench. The head coach ain't got time. You know what? You figure it out, but you figure it out on the bench, okay? We're going to bring somebody else in here, all right? We ain't going to let you figure it out in the game, because letting you figure it out in the game is going to cost us games. Will Levis is enough of trying to figure it out. Get it done or get your ass on the bench. That goes for Brian Callahan too, because what you're doing, again, I am not throwing Will out with the bathwater. I'm not. That's not what I'm saying. But you got one more time to try to figure this out, because if I don't pull you eventually, I'm doing a disservice to my team. Because you know what the locker room is saying now? Damn. Man, I don't trust. Gosh, man, they should go ahead and throw Rudolph in. What we got to lose, man? Gosh, we doing the defense. We doing everything we need to do, man. And this dude doing stupid stuff. Gosh, come on. That's what the locker room is going to start saying. So Brian Callahan has to get this in order. If Will Levis can't do it, go to Mason Rudolph. This ain't your pick. You didn't want him. You inherited him. Okay, so if you inherited this guy, he's not getting the job done, you need to go to the other guy. Why? Not necessarily because it's you versus the quarterback. It's the team you're worrying about now.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by Wilson County. Hyundai.com. Let's get a Will Levis vibe check from all of you. They aren't as immaculate as the vibes at Dollywood were this past weekend. But let's get a Will Levis vibe check from all of you. 615-737-1025. We'll continue this conversation on the other side. Willie Donick, Derek Mason with Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game.
All right, let's talk loan pronto. The mortgage rates have gone way down, the lowest rate in a long time. So if your current rate is over 6%, you need to pay attention right now if you're a homeowner, because you can dump that and get a better rate. Lower that house payment month in, month out. And if you go through the process that Loan Pronto has, the zero-cost rate reduction home loan, you can lock in a lower rate, no closing costs, matter of days, with almost no paperwork and usually no appraisal. And if you act now, you could even skip your next two house payments. So call now. See if Loan Pronto is what you need. I'm a client myself. Loan Pronto has helped our family. So call 615-499-5780 or go to loanpronto.com. 615-499-5780 or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender. NMLS 166-1781 on approved credit. NMLSconsumeraccess.org.
Have you been around a quarterback that makes plays like that in the game?
Who, Will?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, you talking about good plays or bad plays?
The bad ones.
Okay. I mean, I've seen guys make plenty of plays like that. You see it every week. You know, it's not like he's not alone in that regard. But we just got to do a better job and keep coaching and protect the football better, because one score games and losing turnover margins are going to send you to the loser's column more often than not. And we just have to do a better job protecting the ball.
That was Brian Callahan after the game yesterday, a 24-17 loss for the Titans against the New York Jets. Willie Donick, Derek Mason with Adam Vingan. Brian Callahan's had some other pointed comments for Will Levis in his post-game news conference.
And he was peppered with questions about
yes,
it.
Yes, and give understandably
him credit,
so.
And he did not do the Mike Vrabel of, I've already answered that question, you know, which would have been reasonable for a coach to say, I've answered that, I've said it. I'm not going to say it again. But he was sort of asked to repeat the same answer about six times. So I would hope, and I think the media here does a very good job of asking the right questions. I was leaning a little bit towards, okay, you've asked him the question. He's answered the question. We don't need to get another version of the same answer. I thought it was pretty clear. But it's, you know, there's only one topic right now, which is great news for the special teams coach, by the way.
Yes, absolutely. Another blocked punt, according to Rich Cimini of ESPN, who covers the Jets for ESPN. The Titans are the first team to have a punt blocked in each of their first two games of a season since the 2012 Washington, then Redskins. So it has been 12 years since a team opened the season having a punt blocked in each of their first two games. So the new special teams coach must be thanking his lucky stars that Will Levis is making these tremendous mistakes, because he is not under fire for the fact that his special teams unit has allowed block punts in each of the team's first two games. Howie is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, with a comment on Will Levis. Howie, go ahead.
Hey, good day, gentlemen. Hey, if I can, real quick, D. Mace, big fan of yours.
Thank you.
20 years ago, man, I was in high school. I met you at an Eddie George event, and I'll never forget. You had these huge calves, man, and I was like, "Wow, NFL is different."
They didn't notice the great smile.
They still look the great demeanor. It's like, look at this guy's calves.
They're still pretty big, to be fair.
Huge calves. Yes. Okay. So good to see you, brother, and everybody. My comment on Will Levis. So I am frustrated too. My wife and I will be at the game this Sunday, and we're excited about it. When we see Will Levis as an actual second-year sophomore, instead of we keep hearing this, you know, he's still a rookie or he's still young. When I reframe him as a second-year sophomore, I get less angry, because I'm like, okay, is he just going through a sophomore slump? And if he gets through that, is there hope? So your comments on that, gentlemen, does that change how we look at him if he's going into a sophomore slump instead of just being a rookie? Thanks so much. I'll be on.
Thank you, Howie.
Well, I mean, listen, he went through the freshman funk, and now he's in a sophomore slump.
Sophomore slump implies that you had a huge freshman year.
He didn't have a huge
At least in my mind, my definition of it, right?
I actually think it's the opposite. I'm less encouraged by the fact that he is now in his second year, albeit his first full year as a starter, but had nine starts under his belt, and it seems like he's moving backward,
and
not
this
forward.
Is where I think the fans – and listen – I get it, but this is where the fans, I think, they're going to hold out hope, because they're looking at it from just it was his first year last year, and he only played X amount of games, so there's still going to be this learning curve in his second year, so people are willing to put up with what is going on, in a sense. And not call for his job, because they feel in their mind, well, he's only had 10 starts, you know, or 11 starts, and he's still working out some kinks, and I totally get it. But here's the deal. When you're making the same mistakes over and over again, and you're putting your team in situations that they don't need to be put in, it's not like you're not completing your pass. It's like you're not reading defenses well, even though he didn't read them well a few times. But it's not like you're not reading defenses well, okay? If that was the case, I can say, well, he's still learning. He's still trying to figure out defenses from an NFL standpoint. And, you know, he'll get it. Once he sort of really locked, he'll get it. But that's not the case. Everything that he does has nothing to do with his ability to read the defense. Everything that he's doing is just him deciding at that moment that trying to make this play is better than just going down. This is the problem with individuals that have immense physical talent. They believe in their mind, my physicality can get me out of anything. Tell me the greatest quarterback of all time. Just give me the top two greatest quarterback of all time.
Let's say Tom Brady. Let's say Peyton Manning. Joe Montana.
Let's just stop there. Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. You think they relied on their physical attributes to win football
games?
Couldn't
run a lick.
Couldn't run a lick. They didn't have, like, a rocket arm like Will Levis does. What they did was they relied on their mental. They relied on their ability to know the football game and to know situations. More importantly, to know situations. That's what got, you know, Tom Brady 7 championships. That's what got Peyton Manning 2 championships. That's what allowed those guys to play in the league a long time. That's why those guys are considered the GOATs. That's why those guys are going to be first ballot Hall of Famers. Why? It had nothing to do with their physical attributes. Nobody ever talked about Tom Brady and Peyton Manning from a physical standpoint. What did they always talk about? Them, the ability to know the game. The cerebral part of the game, okay? Will Levis doesn't have that. Or he hasn't shown he has it consistently. That is what's going to continue to hamper Will Levis. Will Levis is Jamarcus Russell. That's all he is. A big guy with a big arm, and he's not making the right decisions half the time. That's what it is. And I'm not saying he's going to end up being Jamarcus Russell. I'm saying right now, yeah,
that's the low bar.
But do you tell me anything? As he sits right now, he has more interceptions than touchdowns, damn near.
Yeah, the needle's moving closer to Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah, it's moving the other way.
And
he's
further
Jameis
away
Winston.
From the guy that you hope he would
he's
be.
He's not even Jameis Winston.
Right.
Please don't do Jameis Winston like that, because Will Levis is like the moon to Mars when it comes to him and Winston. At least Winston throws touchdowns.
There's a bit of a toxic formula happening with the Titans. We saw it yesterday. The Jets generated pressure on 60% of Will Levis's dropbacks, according to Next Gen Stats, which was the highest by, well, the Jets was the highest by a defense since week 13 of 2023. The Titans' 60% pressure rate was their most in a game since week 5 of 2022. Now, like Willie said, context is key. Sometimes the numbers don't always mesh with the eye test. I think people watching the game yesterday saw Will Levis under siege. But according to Next Gen Stats, 60% of his dropbacks, he was under pressure. So that's one part of this recipe for disaster. The other part is you have a quarterback who, when he is faced with such pressure, makes the decisions that he has made each of the past 2 weeks. So you have a offensive line who is struggling to pass block, which means Will Levis is constantly under pressure. He has been pressured on more than half of his dropbacks through the first 2 games of the season. So you have a quarterback, you have an offensive line that can't pass protect, and you have a quarterback, when faced with pressure, makes dumb decisions. It is a recipe for disaster.
You know, and the pass protection is an interesting one. This is another thing that is being sort of overshadowed by just really the egregious bonehead plays that we've been talking about, because I do think it's part of the story. That having been said, D-Mace, Adam read the numbers from the Next Gen Stats, and there's no doubt they're having trouble holding up, especially at times. But they have gone up against, I think, 2 pretty good defensive fronts. I am still of the belief that they are taking some steps forward in the offensive line. If you thought it was going to be an immaculate Picasso or whatever, whoever you name your favorite artist, I think you were probably chasing too many dreams. But I do think it's better. I'm somewhat encouraged by the pass protection, even though those numbers say what they say. I don't know about you guys. I feel like it's moving in the right direction. It couldn't have gone much worse, obviously.
Let me just clarify those numbers, because I kind of jumbled them. The Jets' pass rush generated pressure on 60% of dropbacks, the highest by a defense since week 13 of 2023. That's league-wide, not just by the Jets. The highest by a defense since week 13.
It just didn't seem that bad to
2023.
Me.
The 60% pressure rate allowed by the Titans is their highest in a game since week 5 of 2022.
And isn't that crazy? Because I feel like we've seen worse. Like, he's saying that's the worst in 2 years, which means it was worse than anything we saw last year. I feel like we saw worse last year with my eye test anyway.
Looking at the game and then hearing the numbers, I would have never put those two together by watching the game. Now, there was pressure given up to the right side. Nicholas Petit Frere wasn't
He was
good.
Struggling.
Yeah, he struggled mightily.
Dylan Raitens, a number for that, too, by the way.
Dylan Raitens struggled at times as well. I thought J.C. Latham did a really good job. I think he had a bounce-back game in regards to him, you know, being a pass blocker and a run blocker. I think the left side of the line, they play better. They're still working out their things. It seemed like the right side of the line took a step back. I don't know if Dylan Raitens is still dealing with some type of injury, the injury that occurred in the first game. I don't know if he's completely over it, but he didn't look like the same guard this game that he did in the first game. But even with all of that, the quarterback had opportunities to not throw the game away, and that is exactly what he did. He threw the game away. And we can go to the pass play to Treylon Burks. I want to go to that pass play because
we'll get to
break it down from frame to frame, second to second, what he did, what he shouldn't have did, both guys. But Will Levis, he's not playing winning football in critical moments of the game. He's not. Again, the pass to Ridley, it was a touchdown, but that ball had, you know, a point, whatever, probability.
16.5% completion probability, the most improbable completion of his NFL career.
Exactly. And he managed to complete that pass, okay? But there's still things he's doing within the game that have cost the Tennessee Titans a victory. Plain and simple. Yeah, we can go to the block punch. We can do that. But what he's done has single-handedly cost them the game or has been a huge contributor of them not winning.
Before we go to break, would you guys like to take a crack at how many pressures Nicholas Petit Frere was charged with yesterday?
It was a lot. They isolated on him very well. By the way, and we'll probably play this clip a little later, Brian Callahan, and we're trying to absorb from you, the listeners, whether you want to hear the whole Monday morning press conference or us kind of pare it down to the important ones. One bullet point that has come out, Brian Callahan has come out to say, look, I've still got confidence. We can't have the unforced errors. He liked, after watching the tape, a lot of what Will Levis did. It would have otherwise been a decent step forward. There's a lot of clips of plays that it looks like a guy's open here that he didn't see. You know, these are all things that we kind of knew were going to be part of the story. But let's get to Petit Frere because, again, remember, this is a guy that had basically a whole lost season last year. He's still only 24. He is younger than Will Levis, and it's his third year in the league, but the second year was completely cut off by injuries and suspension. So if you're expecting Anthony Munoz or John Runyon or whoever your favorite right tackle is, and Anthony Munoz, I guess, was a left tackle, but I'm not expecting that. But the Jets are going to go after the weaker part, and I expect him to struggle a little bit. But tell me the numbers.
According to Next Gen Stats, Nicholas Petit Frere allowed 13 pressures, tied for the fifth most in a game since 2018. 13 pressures. We were talking about Skoronski last week. He allowed 8 pressures in pass protection against the Bears. Petit Frere, according to Next Gen Stats, 13 pressures yesterday.
So he said, basically, I'm a 4 up you. Say, Skoronski, I'm a 4 up you on this one. I'm going to give up 13.
He said, hold my beer, Peter Skoronski. Let me show you how to give up some pressures. It was not a good day for the Titans offensive line. But we'll continue this conversation on the other side. 615-737-1025. We have calls and texts to get to. We will get to those next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason with Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game. Size matters with this week's Nashville's best deal. This week it's Daddy's Dogs. Nashville's biggest and best gourmet hot dogs went to Daddy's Dogs last week, Madison location. Delicious. Whether you're taking your office lunch to the next level or saving your life on the late night streets of Broadway, you can't go bigger or better than Daddy's Dogs. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals and get a $25 gift card for half price while supplies last. Willie Donick, Derek Mason with Adam Vingan, talking Will Levis, and Eric is on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com with a comment on this. Eric, go ahead.
Hey, guys, first of all, I want to say I'm still waiting on that background check. It's frustrating because I talked to a guy over a week over the weekend who said that when he got his job, he had to wait 2 weeks for his background check. So if
Well, tell them to call us, Eric. We will vouch for
you. We
go way back.
Yeah. Okay, so guys, as far as yesterday, first of all, I tell you what, I'm a season ticket holder, guys, and y'all probably had to deal with this yesterday, too. It is going to be a nightmare trying to go to and from games because I go to church. That's like a half mile from the stadium. I left at 11 o'clock, same time I did last year. I always do. Normally it takes me 30 minutes totally to get to my seat. Yesterday it took me 45 minutes to get to my seat. So, And then the wild thing was, guys, I was leaving. I almost forgot my season ticket. So we're in my bag because I started leaving the stadium after the fourth down play. But then I turn around and go back. Oh, got my bag because I left the stadium. I would have been in trouble if I left the season ticket sitting next to my seat. So, but then also leaving the stadium, the crowd stopped, and we were standing there. We couldn't move for like 5 minutes. Everybody said, well, what was going on? A whole bunch of people just standing. And it was on the side where it was like the gate entrance one, trying to go around to get out that way. Because that's the way I came in. That's where I wanted to go back at. But it was just frustrating. But anyway.
Yeah, I am curious. I knew that this would be something going on. This has been overshadowed by the team on the field.
Yeah,
but I know that there's going to be some challenges over the next couple of years, in the last couple of years of the stadium.
Yeah. But as far as the game goes yesterday, unfortunately, the Titans are making the national media, which people crave for the wrong reasons.
Everybody's good point.
About Will Levis. And last week and this week, his bonehead plays. I don't know you're going to talk about the Traylon Burks play. You know, I definitely thought he should have fought for the ball because he had it in his hand, and he's a bigger, stronger receiver. You got to come down and steal that ball some way. You know, you could put some blame on Levis, but definitely I thought Burks should have had the ball. I credit him also for the big run he had. You know, how you feel about the touchdown pass to Calvin Ridley? Certainly it was a great play, but actually I thought, guys, it was intercepted. But give Calvin Ridley credit for making the great play or whatever adjustment he had to make on the ball, guys. And also, as far as the special teams, that's just so frustrating because somebody made the point, I'd forgotten about this. You realize Ryan Stonehouse has had 4 punts blocked in 3 games, the first 2 games back-to-back and the game where, of course, he got hurt on. And, of course, he was frustrated, which is understandable. And I heard in the post-game show that commentators made the point that you put some blame on Coach on Bill Callahan, on Bill Callahan as well as Rand for the fact they cut some players that could have still been on the team. They were great special teams players. So it's going to be interesting to see how all that shakes out. Is make of that what you will. But the frustrating thing is the defense, and I don't really need turnovers, but I saw a stat where they are number one in a lot of stats this morning. But that does do so good if they don't win no games. I mean, we should be 2-0 instead of 0-2. But, guys, we'll see what happens. I'm definitely going to be there Green Bay Sunday. It's going to be frustrating if we do lose to Malik Willis, have to get rid of him. But you got to give him credit for the way they're handling him up there, so which was the perfect game plan. But we'll see what happens. Guys will get off pitches. Get some other calls.
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, Eric.
And we'll talk to you soon.
So when we were on break here, on the television behind me, Pat McAfee was having Adam Schefter on, and we can't hear it. It's on mute. But the bottom line said, Will Levis doing Will Levis things. Usually, as Willie said, when you hear someone doing someone things, Willie used the example of Roman Yossi doing Roman Yossi things, it's usually a good thing. Will Levis doing Will Levis things, I don't have to hear what McAfee and Schefter are saying. I know it's bad. And they showed the clip, of course, of Brian Callahan.
I was going to say, give you 3 guesses what clip they then rolled after they put that headline up there.
Right, but you know, I've been scouring the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and as you might expect, a lot of people are out or very close to being out on Will Levis. My favorite comment from one texter said that Will Levis is a glorified XFL quarterback. I mean, Tommy Maddox had a cup of coffee in the NFL, XFL MVP, but when you think about the quarterbacks, and Paul Gaharski had an interesting story about this that we will intend to get to a little bit later, comparing quarterbacks through their first 11 starts with some of the statistics that Levis has, particularly touchdown throws, interceptions, and fumbles, if I'm not mistaken, you know, the outlier is Brett Favre. And I think people who are holding on to hope that Will Levis, this is just a bump in the road at the start of his career. Hey, maybe he'll turn into Brett Favre one day. I think that's a pipe dream. Very few people turn into Brett Favre. But the quarterbacks on this list are not quarterbacks you want to be associated with.
For the most part, it's a wide range, I thought. I'm going to try to stick to what I've heard as a theory on evaluating quarterback, and I want to try to stay consistent with it, and it's hard in the moment because it's easy to say right now, oh, that's it, I've seen enough, he's not going to make it, because I think we can all go back through and find examples of people that you thought that about, in regardless of what we're talking about, a quarterback, a goalie, a wing in hockey, a baseball right fielder. There are stories of guys who do have the light go on. There's Baker Mayfield might be a great example right now. He is getting lauded as, hey, is he? I just saw on First Take, they're going back through it and saying, is he in the top 10 right now? He was thrown out, cast off as a bust by his former team. And here he is. So there are guys that go a circuitous route before they get there. I'm going to say 20 games. I want to see 20 games before I really say this is what he is. And I'm maybe probably more patient than some.
Well, whether it's 20 games or 220 games, he has to figure out a way to not make these mistakes. You can't play Brett Favre football anymore.
No.
Those days are gone. Defenses are much more complex. These athletes are a lot better, a lot more athletic. So you can't be just throwing the ball around the yard all willy-nilly without any, sense of I need to, protect the ball. If you're not thinking about protecting the ball, especially in critical situations, then you're going to end up doing the same thing that Will Levis has done the last two games. He is who he is, because even if you look at Josh, and this is here's the reason why I am concerned, like more than just a little bit concerned. I can see if this is Will Levis last year with just D-Hop out there to catch passes, where the offensive line was just horrendous. No matter who it was just horrendous. The running game wasn't as strong as it normally is.
It wasn't the backbone.
Derrick Henry ran strong, it was good, but it wasn't the backbone, so they couldn't lean on it as much. I can see if that was indeed the case here. But it's not the case. Okay? Let's just look at Josh Allen for a second. As much as I don't think Josh Allen is an elite quarterback, I think he's a damn good quarterback, but elite, no, he's just not, from my opinion. Would I take him? Hell yeah, I take him. But he's not an elite quarterback. His fault at the beginning of his career was the same thing that Will's doing. But you know what they did? They went out and got him playmakers. And you know what happened? He changed. Things changed. He still threw interceptions here and there, but things changed. He started throwing more touchdowns than interceptions, even though he would do Josh Allen things from time to time, but more times than not, he was winning you football games, okay? Here's the problem that I have with Will Levis. He's not in a situation that Josh Allen was in when he first got in the NFL. They went out and purposely, intentionally, went out and got him pass catchers.
Yes.
They was intentional about this. They said, we got to help this young quarterback. And I'm sure that's one reason that Brian Callahan took the job, because they promised him, we're going to go get him.
I'm going to give you a support system to try to get this guy a chance.
Absolutely. Yes. We're going to upgrade the offensive line. We're going to go get him some pass catchers. And we're going to give you an opportunity to mold this quarterback. And Brian Callahan, okay, let's do it. So they went out and got you all these pass catchers that people raved about in the offseason, me included. And you come out in the first two games, and this is what you do with these pass catchers that you're supposed to have?
I could not agree more.
That's why I'm still worried.
This is my biggest concern, because I'm going to give them the 20 games. Because part of me is saying, look, if you had, and I don't know whether Mason Rudolph could have done this or not, but if you got the quintessential game management from your quarterback, in theory, you are no worse than 1-1 and could be 2-0. I think that's fair to say, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, you got to factor in the ridiculousness of having the punts blocked in back-to-back games. That is a huge thing to overcome, as we've shown you statistically. If that happens in an NFL game, I don't care how good you are, you usually lose. But the thing that is interesting about this particular situation with Levis is what D-May said. They took the steps to give him a support system. Let's go back to Paul's article. He did the cross-section. He just put three stats in there.
I have it out right now.
Where it's a list of, what, 31 guys who had 11 starts, and they had, what's the criteria? Less than 10?
There were 32 players since 1970. It was players who started through 11 games, threw for 11 touchdowns or fewer, 7 interceptions or more, and 9 fumbles or more.
Right, so a lot of ups and downs, a lot of errors in the first 11. One of the guys on that list that jumped out to me, because you can find everybody, one was Craig Wheelahan. I have not said his name in 25 years, but I Craig Wheelahan, like, when's the last time you had him? So there's everybody's on this list. But Vinny Testaverde's on that list. Vinny Testaverde, his first 11 games were for a horrendous Tampa Bay team. He had no chance, right? Of course his first 11 starts stunk. He was playing for a team that was awful and had been awful for a long time, that tried to draft Bo Jackson with the first pick. Bo Jackson didn't want to play there. He went and played baseball. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, everything that could have gone wrong for the Bucs back then was going wrong. So my point is, every context is different. The worrisome thing is, Levis is not in a, I got nothing around me like a Bryce Young is going through right now.
Exactly.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your phones and texts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, it's time to bust out the Derek Mason wide receiver translator. There were a few plays in this game that I would love to get Derek's opinion of on, as only he can. We'll do that next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason with Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game.